Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The issue of so-called transgenderism, whether someone can actually change their sex or gender, is a very controversial issue and one that is affecting policies all over the country. We have someone who literally has gone through that process and regretted it. We're going to talk to him. His name is Walt Heyer on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel. And Walt Heyer has various websites. I'll give them later in the program, sexchangeregret.com and a transgendersfaith.com with a book by the same name. Welcome to Faith and Freedom, Walt.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Walt.
Walt, your story begins where your grandmother, who was an adult figure, was cross-dressing you, affirmed you in that cross-dressing. When you were a young boy, she cross-dressed you to a girl. And as a result of that affirmation of an adult figure, you ultimately became gender confused at some point in time later in life, much later actually. You were married for 17 years. You went through the process of doing the surgery, which, Walt, includes hormones, where you would have to take estrogen in fairly large doses and then go through the plastic surgery. At the end of the day, though, you really can't change what your biology is from birth, and you've experienced that, but you also experienced redemption through Jesus Christ.
Right. Yeah, I think it's important for people to understand you can change the way your gender persona appears. You can make that appearance change. It is categorically impossible to change your biological sex. And so what we have is a situation where our sex doesn't change. The only thing that changes with reassignment surgery is the appearance of your public persona, gender identity. Your sex still remains the same. There's no way to change it. It's biologically fixed and unchangeable.
What do you really see as the cause for people, you know, wanting to do that? And you can speak from your own experience as well, Walt.
Well, many of them are issues with psychological disorders that come up. They call them dissociative disorders, where about 30% of transgender population suffers from dissociative disorders. I've written studies about studies that show over 60% of the population suffers from a variety of what they call comorbid disorders, Axis 1 comorbid disorders, which includes a vast variety of issues, obsessive compulsive, bipolar, and other disorders. There's also sexual fetishes that come into this, and one of them is called autogynephilia, where they actually fall in love with themselves, their appearance of themselves in the mirror. And this is pretty common also among the transgender population. They actually fall in love with who they see in the mirror, and that becomes the object of their own affection for themselves. So it drives a lot of different types of sexual fetishes and psychological issues that today what we have is an advocate community that's kind of pushing people away from even getting the therapy they need that would help them avoid going through any surgical procedures or hormone therapy, which is, to me, where the biggest disservice to the community is. And I just got a letter from a young man who went through this procedure as a youngster, and they did surgery on him, and 10 years later realized that he went into psychotherapy, and the psychotherapy cured his desire to be transgender, and now he's left with no ability to have kids. He realized that biologically he never changed, even though they told him that it was innate and it was in his brain that way. He said it wasn't in his brain. It never was. So he is now detransitioned back and is suffering like many of the people who detransition with things that don't function like they did, and they can't bear children like they would like to. And some of them come to find Jesus Christ and like I did, and some of them just turn their life back to the way it was and began to pursue Christ in an effort to find them that serenity that they've been looking for.
Now, you were telling us that you actually got a couple of letters recently from two parents regarding their sons, I believe, who were experiencing this gender dysphoria. They were having this feeling that they identify, if you will, as a female. Tell us about what information you gleaned from that conversation or that communication.
Yeah, what was very interesting about both of them, they came within about 3 days apart, and they came from two different states, one in California and another one in another state. And so what I realized, when they write me and they say, I need help for my son, what do you advise me to do? I always write back and say, well, tell me about your son's life so I can get a better perspective. I did that with both of them. Both mothers wrote back and said that the children were introduced to pornography by their father and were introduced to homosexual sex by their father. And so what we have is, when you begin to introduce a young person to pornography at a young age, this was under 10 years old for both of them, and then begin to have somebody who has same-sex attractions, the father does, and introduces them to that, you're bound to have a young person who's going to struggle with their identity.
And, you know, the problem is, one of them that you say lives in California is, California has this law now that it's politically motivated, not scientifically based, that says if someone goes to a licensed professional counselor, someone who is an expert, or someone who is able to refer, even though they're not an expert, to someone who is an expert, and they're having this gender dysphoria or unwanted same-sex sexual attractions, you can't refer them and you can't counsel them, that is now a quote-unquote unethical behavior on the part of the counselor. So even getting help to some of these people who want it is being blocked by some of these politically motivated attempts by legislators and the LGBT agenda individuals.
Yeah, and I suggest to the parents, when they are a mother or anybody struggling with that, is if they're in California, realize that what happened to that child is abuse, sexual abuse. Forget the transgender issue. Realize that it's sexual abuse and ask for psychotherapy for the child for sexual abuse, and don't talk about the transgender issues. Talk about the sexual abuse and what happened. And under the law, that's a legal way to go, as long as you don't say, well, you know, I'm a transgender and want to change genders. But the fact of the matter is, just like in my life, the sexual abuse by my uncle triggered that desire to not want to have the genitalia that was causing you to be abused. Mm. So you've got to realize that what happens psychologically is that when somebody starts fondling and playing with the genitalia, you feel like if it's gone, I'm not going to be abused. So in a childlike sense, you say, get rid of it, then I won't be abused.
And for a child, sometimes, even though it's not the child's fault, sometimes the child blames him or herself for that sexual abuse.
Absolutely. For just being in the environment. I know I tried to run from my uncle. He took me up in the hills one day in his car and stripped me down naked, and I had to run through the neighborhood, through the weeds, down the hills, and hid in a bush, and he was trolling the street trying to find me because I was going to expose what he did. And he finally, I yelled to him when he drove by, and he threw my clothes out, and I got my clothes dressed up, went home, told my parents, and my parents said, no, your uncle would never do that. You're a liar.
Hmm. Wow, that's tragic.
Wow, that is tragic.
So you're finding so many of them that are dealing with gender identity are can be pointed all the way back to childhood. Is that true?
Absolutely. Yeah, I have 100% of the time in the 10 years I've been dealing with this, if I spend enough time with the transgender, with the parent, or with somebody in the family, we can identify the trigger mechanism that kicked off the gender dysphoria and the desire to change genders.
Well, our guest is Walt Heyer, someone who actually has gone through that surgery, then gave his life to Jesus Christ and felt the freedom that Jesus Christ only can give, regretted, and went the other way, back to how he was born, how his Creator made him. He has two websites, sexchangeregret.com, sexchangeregret.com, and the other website, atransgendersfaith.com, atransgendersfaith.com. There's also a book that he wrote by the same name. You can get the book at one of those websites, atransgendersfaith.com or sexchangeregret.com. Our special guest has been Walt Heyer. I encourage you to get this program out to those that may not be in your community, that haven't heard this, in your Sunday school, in your churches, in your schools. This is a very critical issue. It is an assault on how God made us. It is ultimately entrapping people in a way that is very harmful and dangerous. Learn more about it. You can visit lc.org for more information.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation.